the bombs they build.
Check, check, check. Hey, 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 how's it going out there? Welcome back. It's us. It's me. It's you. It's everyone in the whole entire world. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And yeah, you guys are in fact listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. How's it going, Carolyn?
Whoa, I went through a tunnel. Tunnel vision warp.
Tunnel brain transformation. We're back, Carolyn. We're back from the New York Comic Con. We're back from
the NYCC.
And we're back into the coldest. It feels like it's freezing out there for some reason.
Really?
Feels like it's cold, at least.
I don't feel like it's reached the frozen point.
Of course not, but at least it's getting cold, and I can definitely feel it.
It is fall. It is autumn. It's season.
That little bite is back in the air. We were just talking about how summer has ended, and now fall has begun. It's one of those times. I like this season, though. I like the little... the crisp, the colors. It's nice. It's nice. What do you think, Carolyn?
I like it when it's not as biting. But I do like the trees changing color. It's really pleasant. I like certain elements of fall. I like the... everyone's going crazy over the pumpkin spice lattes. I'm not really into coffee, but...
the pumpkin spice lattes. Tell me about this, since I don't really pay attention.
I don't think I've actually had one, but I have had pumpkin... of other varieties.
Is this a Starbucks thing that's happening?
It is a Starbucks thing, but it's...
or is it like,
you know,
a Dunkin' Donuts
thing? It's
going
over everywhere. It is Dunkin' Donuts. It's basically taken over, like, the spice, like, fall season is taking over with the pumpkin spice everything.
I like always the fall season because at the same time, people always think it's, oh, it's the, you know, the nature is dying or they're going down. But also, I see it a lot as, like, a new, you know, I always feel that, like, fall time is... you know, it may, nature-wise, it may seem like, oh, it's time to sleep, it's time to die.
Well, the acorns are falling, and that means new trees.
Yeah, and that's the way I look at it, too. It's the new stuff, the new season, the new shows that are happening. It always feels like new, even though it's clearly not.
Most people think spring is new.
Yeah, but I feel like fall. Fall is new to me.
Fall cleaning.
That's what I feel like that it sort of triggers in my head. It's like, wow, this is a refresher moment. This is when the real drama happens. I don't know why it's like that. I think that's always how it's been in my brain.
Well, school season, that seems to be like a refresh.
Yeah.
I don't know, about, a new year, some new
about,
growth.
Something about fall just still always feels fresh and new, even though it's not, but I try. All right. My, you know, like mental memory triggers always happen like that.
Well, just you wait and see it'll get even colder. It'll be winter. It'll be like... frozen, and then at that point there are no leaves on the tree, and so it makes it kind of like pointless for it just to be frozen with no leaves and everything. But when it snows, then that's when it's awesome, because then there's like purpose to the cold. That's how I view winter coming up. But I mean, honestly, like in the mornings it's really tough for me to wake up now that it's cold, because I want to stay in the warmth of the blanket land.
Something straight out of Community. Hey, it's that time again. Go for it.
Oh my god.
Carolyn's news.
My news segment. Wow. Okay, so now we're in October. Halloween is coming up, so make sure you grab an issue of Magic Bullet, the latest issue of Magic Bullet, Washington, D.C.'s comics newspaper anthology. If you want to find it for free, you can go to magicbulletcomics.com and go to the locations tab, and you'll be able to see where you can pick up Magic Bullet, and hopefully they will still have a copy for you. So that is exciting, and read it on Halloween night to get spooked out. And also, several contributors will be handing out Magic Bullet to the kids who are trick-or-treating on October 31st. So, I don't want to give out all of our home addresses, because that would be a little creepy. But if you happen to catch one then that's pretty awesome and special, because they're almost all out, and we printed 5,000. So, be on the lookout for the Halloween Magic Bullet. And then we're going into November, and November 2nd, we have this awesome event called Cartoonist Draw Blood. It's basically us working with the American Red Cross, so you know that your blood is going to a good place and it's going to be handled properly by the American Red Cross. And so November 2nd, it's at Seekers Church in D.C., and it's right near the Tacoma Park Metro Station. It's like right across the street, a block away. And so that is feasible for anyone who doesn't have a car or has transportation. Basically, you can always take the public transit or drive to the Seeker's Church. And we're running from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., but we need you to sign up first so we know.
Give your blood now.
We know your appointment, so we're going to have 15-minute time slots.
It's not like a show up and give blood thing, right? It's like
We are accepting walk-ins if somebody happens to walk in off the street, and I'm going to have like posters outside. I'm working with the Red Cross to get some stands so we can advertise like outside by people that just happen to walk by in the community.
I'd like to have like someone that's dressed up like a needle. cartoon needle.
If you want to dress up like a cartoon needle, that's cool too. But yeah, we are accepting walk-ins, but it would be really awesome to actually schedule your appointment so the Red Cross knows what to expect. So, and also there's like a time flow, so if you know your exact appointment, you can come in, have your blood drawn, you won't have to wait usually, and that's like the cool thing. So 15-minute increments. You can email me. You can email me at info@curls-studio.com, and I can hook you up with a time slot. And it would be so amazing because you know what? You get to save a life, and in return for it, you get a sketch by one of DC's finest cartoon artists, because we have a whole bunch of awesome people lined up for this event. So yeah, find out more at info@curls-studio.com. And then on November 9th, Joe and I are going to be at Southern Maryland Comic Con. Joe, are you excited? Because I think this is your first Southern Maryland Comic Con.
Was it? I always forget if I've been to a Southern Maryland Comic Con or not.
I don't know.
Which one is this?
I don't know.
Is this the one in Southern Maryland?
It's the one in Southern Maryland.
Is it in the same venue as the Annapolis, or is this different?
This is different.
I'm trying to remember where this takes
place.
Is this
the one in the Southern Maryland?
Is this the one that takes place in the skating rink one? The ice skating place?
I think it might. One of them's in a skating rink and one of them's somewhere else. I would have to check the information.
So I remember maybe like the Annapolis one is the one that was in like the gym area. Uh-huh. And I never went to the other one, so.
Well, we'll find out.
I dare someone to invite me on a panel for one of these days. That's not wrestling. But I don't know what they would invite me on for.
I guess a writing panel.
Yeah, so anyway, why not? Someone put me on for a writing panel because I am a writer.
Why don't you ask Ben?
Nah.
Or maybe Ben's listening. So November 9th, Southern Maryland Comic Con. And I heard if you're a big Adventure Time fan, you should come for sure because the voice of Finn is going to be there.
Boom, 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 boom.
That's incredible. And Adventure Time is so hot right now. It's probably like the hottest animated show right now. Definitely on Cartoon Network and maybe in general.
It sort of just took over the world, didn't it?
Yeah, it's a hostile takeover.
What do you think is such the appeal of Adventure Time?
I think it's friendly. I think it appeals to both boys and girls.
Boys and girls.
And I think it's cool because there's so many worlds to discover and go on adventures. And then so that's on November 9th, the Southern Maryland Comic Con. And Joe and I will be there as Curl Studio. But then on November 10th, there's another event. It's the Team Cul-de-Sac Parkinson's Walk, and Joe and I will be walking. And it's free to walk, which is completely awesome, and it's 2 miles.
Free to walk.
Yes. You can walk. Of course, you could always just walk 2 miles on your own, but it won't be as fun because you won't be joined by awesome people who are like walking for Parkinson's. And like one of my friends is going to be there, and she is like she's really excited about raising money for Parkinson's, and she just actually switched careers to do physical therapy, and so she's really excited about like learning more about Parkinson's, and she was educating me even like this past weekend about some elements of the disease that I didn't know about. So that's pretty cool to like have people be involved on different levels that aren't necessarily cartoonists too, because I'd say like probably half the people that are walking in the walk are cartoonists and the other half are people that are just interested in raising money for Parkinson's disease. So it's good, like we're accepting anybody to be on the walk team. And again, it's free to walk and you can on your own raise money in honor of your name. Like it would be people that, you know, like let's say coworkers or friends want to donate in your name. And then that money goes towards Parkinson's research. So that will help you like raise money for the team. And right now our team goal is $500 as an overall team cul-de-sac goal. And right now we're at 250. So we're halfway there. It's pretty awesome. So we still have a couple more weeks.
Not bad. Not bad.
I think we'll make it. I have a good feeling that people will pull through at the end. You know, like eBay. But basically, yeah, like so... And also, you know, I'm not gonna have everybody dress up like a full on team, but our thing is like, cause Teresa Logan was like, we need to have colors, so she put in my mind like the only color she wears is black. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess we'll be black. And then I got like some bandanas.
Team black.
I got also some really awesome bandanas that are turquoise color, and so we can wear the turquoise bandanas like however you want to wear them, like on your head, on your around your neck, hanging out your pocket.
Is that the color? Is that the color for the walk is turquoise?
Well, their logo is kind of a bluish color, so I did...
Is this a race?
It's not a race. It's just a fun event where you walk with your team and help to cure Parkinson's, raise money for that.
So it's sort of like Forrest Gump when he was just running at the end. He just felt like running.
I guess you can run if you feel like it. I mean, it is technically a walk. But yeah, I mean,
what happens at the end of the walk?
I think you just cross the finish line and have fun. I don't think there's like, I don't think there's like, there's no like ribbons or anything.
There's like, is there, can be like a pizza party?
I mean, it would have to be self-organized. I don't think there's like a whole organized pizza party for everyone.
All the calories that people walked off, they're just going to gain it back They should even have an ice cream or a pizza party at the end of that. I feel like at the end of every walk or something that there should be a celebration.
Well,
right?
Maybe we all can go out and get ice cream or something.
Yes.
But it won't be like
ice cream for Parkinson's.
Yeah.
Ice cream against Parkinson's. Is that what it is?
I don't think it would be for it, but so maybe against. For like, maybe they can be ice cream for Parkinson's research.
No, I'd like against.
Make it ice cream against Parkinson's. Yeah. Yeah.
Have ice cream against Parkinson's. People will love that.
Heck yeah. But anyway, you can join our team. The URL to our direct team page is like really long. So I guess you could either Google Team Cul-de-Sac Parkinson's Walk DC.
Are there going to be other people walking too?
Yeah, like there's
other
like
organizations
other,
that we can compete against?
It's not other organizations. Everyone is walking for the same goal to raise money for Parkinson's research, but there might be other teams. Like our team is called Team Cul-de-Sac.
See, I always wonder about this, like to... In this day and age, like the research, I'm guessing it's like this. It's the scientific research. It's the actual like people are going in and they're like trying to, you know, get down. You know, they're going onto the technical scientific scale.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like going on the internet and be like, oh yeah.
Well, that type of research. It's probably like high end research.
Like finding a cure, right?
Yeah.
So it's like a walk for the cure.
Yeah, that's
Parkinson's.
What it is.
How do you cure that?
You're asking the wrong person.
Why am I asking the wrong person?
Because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical.
Yeah, but what do doctors solve?
I don't
doctors
know.
Don't solve
I'm sure
anything.
There's some people.
Scientists
oh, I'm not a
solve.
Sci- well, I'm
scientists
not a sci-
solve them.
I'm not a scientist. I'm not. I don't know the cure yet.
I would like any doctor out there, and I challenge them this at this very moment. Any doctor out there that's not a scientist to tell me what have they cured.
I'm sure they've like cured people like of pneumonia, or they might have.
How?
Helped. I don't know. They gave them prescription.
That's not solving. That's, that's
like relieving
not
the pain.
Though they're diagnosing. It's just like a to me in my head at this point. And you know, I'm happy if any doctors prove me wrong because it'll be amazing. But I'd like any doctor or anything to any one of them to go and tell me that they've solved and they've cured something. As opposed to like, you know, it's like a mechanic or you go to Jiffy Lube, you know what I mean? And they're like, oh, we looked at your car and we saw this and we know that you do this to fix it. But they're not the ones who figured out how to fix it. You know what I mean? Someone else figured out how to fix it and they just put it in a book and they research which is the way they solved it. That's the challenge. You know what I mean? Because it's like they get paid a lot to diagnose. I guess they do have specialists and surgeons and stuff like that. I give surgeons and all them complete, you know, complete props.
But not doctors.
But I guess they could be doctors too, right?
Yeah, they all are.
Well, maybe they're just using the word doctor way too much. Maybe a doctor has a different term.
Are you talking
now.
About like a general practitioner?
I guess so.
That would be like a basic doctor.
A basic
that you go
doctor.
To. Like, for everyday checkup.
But I'm a big supporter of scientists. I'm a big supporter of science. Because I love science.
Well, I feel like there are different levels of doctors. Because it's like you have the specialists that like somebody might be really specialist in like a spine.
Yeah.
Or spinal cord. It's, I feel like it's good to have those different levels of doctors. And then you have like the general doctors. Like the everyday doctors. Because like, why, if like, let's say you already knew you had trouble with your spine, right?
Yeah.
You kind of have to go to like the intermediate doctor just to make sure that that's exactly what it is. And then they move you on to the spinal doctor. Because otherwise it would just waste the spinal doctor's time.
I bet I'm like a doctor's like worst enemy. Because whenever I go in there, I'm like always just second guessing everything they do. They're like, oh, he doesn't trust me. It's probably they misdiagnose me and I get hurt more.
Well, if they misdiagnose you, is it because you're telling them the wrong stuff?
No.
Well, when was the last time you even went to the doctor?
Beats me.
I don't even remember.
I don't go to doctors.
What's going to happen, Joe?
What do you mean, what's going to happen?
If something really bad happens, are you going to check out with the doctor or not?
I will find out what happens to that. I got to gain their trust. Well, they got to gain my trust. I don't know. I've always had that stigma against doctors for some reason because, like, it's probably not the person. I mean, it's probably not the field, but it's probably the person. I haven't met a lot of doctors where I feel like, oh, yeah, that guy seems like a genuine person.
Well, I feel like it's, like, with everything. Also, you know, when I was growing up, I used to, like, look at adults and be like, oh, adults, they're so trustworthy and, like, they know what they're doing. And then now that I am, like, more of a, I guess, adult age, like, most adults don't even really know what they're doing. And they're just trying to get by day to day.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's kind of sad, though. Like, I felt like a couple years ago, my bubble was burst like that. Because I was like, man, I thought, like, most adults actually knew what they were doing for the most part. I'm not saying they have to, like, know everything and, like, you know, be like, I'm so perfect. I know everything that I'm doing. I'm not saying it has to be, like, to that level. But I just thought that people had more grasp of life and, you know, their intentions and what they were doing. And but it seems like really probably like 80% of people are just like floating around and they don't really know what their end goal is and they're just kind of living life day to day. But I guess what I'm getting at is that with any profession, not just doctors, but doesn't it kind of feel like there's good and bad? Like there's good and bad filmmakers, there's good and bad graphic designers, there's good and bad probably, I don't know, firefighters. And like, it gets down to like everything. There's
Equinox, man. There's balance.
But then like with the doctors though, you hear about these like lawsuits and like malpractice stuff. And
yeah,
like, it's like, wow, there's actually bad doctors out there. But like growing up, you always think that like every doctor is on the good side, but that's
actually
not
growing
necessarily
up,
true.
Actually well, growing yeah. up was not, that was not my experience.
You just hated doctors.
My experience was of the bad doctors.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I feel like there's been a lot of doctors I've gone through that I just didn't like. And so me and my family just never went back. So there's that type of deal. And this, I guess that's how it explains my outlook on that. Just don't trust anyone.
Did you like vet them?
Did I what?
Or like vet them?
What's that mean?
Like process them, like make sure they were good before you like...
Well, it wasn't up to me. These people
you
just
kept going to like bad doctors all the time.
Well, I guess they just end up being, you know, just not as great as you think they are. At least that's how it felt. Well, I mean, I was just a young kid, so just going to other ones and you hear your
parents. What were they doing?
Going and be like, no, I don't really like them, you know.
So you guys just didn't like anybody.
I automatically would not like them, so that's how it came out.
Hmm.
I mean, the thing is though, like, you know, growing up, I was already going through a lot of doctors in general.
Why?
I guess that's just how it is. I guess people I had to go to a couple of doctors to fix my hearing. Apparently there was like some sort of like clogging or something where there was like a, where I couldn't, I guess they said I couldn't hear real well and it had to like drill into my ear.
Oh my gosh.
So it was like, you know, and that was like when I was really young too. So I didn't, you know, and it's quite obvious I did not want to do that. Like as a human being,
yeah.
It was one of those situations where like, you know, you're young enough to realize, like, say, like, I have, like, very, like, clear memories of being younger and having to do, like, hearing tests, so to speak. And then I guess people said that I couldn't hear something or there's like, a clog on one side. And so we'd go to different people checking out what was wrong with that. And then, you know, one doctor, I guess, was said, like, oh, it's because you have a clog or there's, like, a buildup or something to that point. And the next thing I noticed is like, oh, now I got to be strapped to a table and they got to drill into my ear to punch a hole so I can be clear. God. So I remember, I have a fond memory of like wanting to like break out of like a strapped chair, you know, while everyone's like, it's going to be okay. While like another person like is drilling directly into my ear and like it's like, you know, basically it seemed like drilling into a like into the ground and trying to like clear a path in my ear. You know, and I can say that that was probably pretty horrifying for my age. So at that point, it became a sense of like, oh, I don't want to see anything related to a doctor or a nurse or anything like that. And I mean, that's clearly obvious. That's like one of the biggest nightmares is like being strapped down on the table, flat on your back, and then having someone drill into your head. It's not a very interesting story.
Did they put you under funny anesthesia?
No. None at all. When I say that I don't like dentists and I don't like doctors, I can trace them to moments like that. You know what I mean? Sort of like that. Like, I don't like doctors because of that. You know what I mean? That sucked. So like after that, you know, of course, my mom being a nurse and I being around doctors and shit, maybe not want to be around them because I was like, oh, any moment they can just trick me into getting surgery or trick me into doing this and that. Because it felt like a trick. It felt like I had to be tricked into doing that type of situation when everyone's like, don't worry, it's going to be okay. It'll be fine.
But didn't they know any good doctors? Because your mom was a nurse.
So sure, that could. I mean, as far as I know.
Couldn't she find any good people?
As far as I know, that could have been a good doctor. But like, still, like that experience alone makes you not want to relive that experience. So move that to now. Let's see. Why do I dislike dentists? Okay, so I have a fond memory of, say, when they're taking a mold of my mouth, you know, where you're supposed to take a mold in your mouth. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I was, you know, it's fine. You know, and also there's been a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of things that I've had to do with, like, my teeth are unpleasant, you know, just by, you know, just being youth and growing up. But one was, like, you know, when they take the mold of your mouth and you're supposed to hang it, like, low so it doesn't go down your throat. Well, apparently no one told me, so I put my head up, and then, like, the mold went down my throat.
That's so gross.
And so, like, it started to clog, and they're like, no, just hold it for a few seconds. I'm like, I'm fucking choking here, motherfucker. You know?
Oh.
And so, like, of course, when I first...
That stuff would taste like shit,
so,
too.
Yeah, but imagine...
It was just like...
Yeah, but imagine it going, like, down your throat, and then, like, people telling you to hold it, and you can't tell them. And so, like, of course, they're trying to hold it in your mouth, like, with their hands, and you're trying to pry it out because you're choking. Yeah, right. And then like
I have a dentist appointment tomorrow. I pull it out
and then I vomit all over the ground.
Ew.
Because like, of course it's like gagging me. So of course I'm going to vomit all over the ground. And then they're like, now we got to start over again. And they're like being pissed off at me. I'm like, well, I could have fucking choked, bitch. What the fuck? You know? So it's like, they don't like a doctor because they drilled my head and don't like dentists because they tried to choke me out. It's like there's many, many, many stories like that.
But they're all both trying to help you.
No one is trying to help me.
But maybe you didn't want it.
They are not trying to help me. They are not. They're just doing their job.
You're being difficult.
They're just doing... So what if I'm being difficult? I'm always difficult.
I think you're being difficult, though.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's like, why would I want anything drilled in my head? You know, and one being strapped down... And then also, it's like, well, I'm choking and gagging, man.
What's going to happen if you actually need an operation?
What will happen if I actually need an operation?
You're probably not going to do it. And then you're just going to end up dying.
Well, then that's how I'm going to die.
That's sad.
It's not sad. Die by my own rules.
What if somebody says, like, hey, we need to put in, like a heart thing. Like an Iron Man or something. You're just going to be like, no.
I'm going to do it myself.
What? You're going to Tony Stark that heart?
That seems like the most proper way of doing it.
You're going to cut open yourself and put in a different heart?
I'd like to think in that level of my future fame that I'll have, by that time, probably have people that I actually trust. I just don't like having doctors or these people thrust on me without my co-signing of like, oh yeah, they seem like a good person.
Okay, like they do have actually reviews online now.
They have Yelps and Reddits? Yeah.
Like, so you can see who's a horrible doctor.
I mean, I just see so many doctors now. Like, you see them on TV and you see them on the billboards.
Hey, Dr.
and stuff,
Nick.
And stuff like that. It's like, I don't even know how you're supposed to trust any doctor.
I mean, it is a money-making business, but...
Yeah, it's a massive money-making business.
I feel like there are some good doctors out there.
There's just got to be some good doctors out there.
Where are they?
You tell me.
I guess you gotta read Angie's List or something.
Who's Angie?
That's a company. It's like a company that like vets like any type of services. Like they like if you need like a person to clean your house or like a pet sitter and stuff. Like they have rankings and it's basically like justifiable to be like. I think you have to even pay to be a member to like see the rankings of like different companies. Again, pay to view. I think you have to. But it helps like people. It helps like people know for sure that you're getting involved with a good business. What do you think of that?
I mean, it's just like anything else. Just like anything else, money, money, money. I mean, that's really how I gauge everything on that anyway. So maybe one of these days I'll attempt to trust a doctor, any type of doctor. I do trust science, but I don't want science to be like operating on me either.
You need to get like a award-winning doctor, the top doctors, like the WWE doctors.
Those are probably like the most. That's what I'm saying. When I can make it up to that big enough money, those would be the guys to go to.
Would you actually trust them though? To be like, this is the number one spinal surgery doctor of all time.
I like to get that Lex Luthor money where they're like, they have the special doctors that know how to bring you back from life, bring you back from the dead.
This man has been known to touch people and then
it's like, we don't have the stuff. You don't, in this hospital, we have no one. Just let me fly my specialist in. Specialist.
So that's what would you trust those people that like, what if somebody's like, this guy's a well-known specialist. He's the number one.
No, I'd have my own specialist.
Of all, every body type?
Yes.
Of every body
part? Yes.
Like basically the yes. specialist of Joe Carbeo?
Yes.
That's kind of frightening though.
Why?
Well, who could you trust that's like that? What
I'd have to find someone that I trust.
What if it ends up being like Michael Jackson's doctor?
Well, it's not supposed to be Michael Jackson's doctor. We already know what he's done. Is he on
your blacklist?
We got to find someone that I trust to rebuild me.
Who will that be?
I don't know. I got to search for that. You tell me like I know these doctors already.
Well, you better be on the hunt, man.
I'm not on the hunt. I'm not even looking. I don't give a fuck about doctors.
Well, you need to have a doctor lined up.
No, I don't. No, I don't.
What if
It'll be just like in court. They'll assign me someone and I'll say no.
Obamacare.
Yes, everyone's favorite Obamacare.
I heard the website is like busted. They're trying to fix it now. So that kind of like involves design in a way. I'm like, oh, design's in the news. Oh, it didn't work. And now he's like in trouble. Everyone's like upset about the design.
I have no idea what you're even talking about.
Well, apparently
I've been out of the loop. I've been out of the loop for everything in the past few weeks. So many people in this past, I didn't know when the government was being shut down. I didn't know any type of news that was happening. You know what? And it's great.
Well, I guess absolutely just
fabulous.
To catch you up on a little bit, what I was talking about was the Obamacare website.
There's so much news.
Well, anyway, so how was New York Comic Con?
I don't know. You tell me.
How was it for you? I'm asking.
I'm asking you. You tell me.
Well, New York Comic Con for us was pretty amazing because it was our first time of being out there in the main hall, as we say, and not Artist Alley. For those of you that don't know, Artist Alley is actually is in a whole nother section. And basically, we got to be in the small press section, and lo and behold, the first thing I see when we're loading in is me and Teresa are loading in this big cart full of all of our stuff, and Joe put it on a rock and roller, and Joe's asleep right now. He's going to bed. And
I'm
like,
not. I'm listening to you. I don't need my eyes to hear what you say.
You are like a force of nature.
I'm a force of nature? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. You're like a brain reader with your eyes shut. And basically, so lo and behold, like Teresa and I are coming in with this big cart of stuff. And the first thing I see is Virgil. Like, I was just like, what? Virgil wrestling superstar? It's pretty amazing. And basically, like, it's pretty crazy because I was like, what? Virgil and Ted DiBiase? Like, are supposed to be here? Because that's what the sign says. It says, like, Ted DiBiase and Virgil. And so I was like, whoa, Million Dollar Man. that's pretty crazy because, like, Joe and I are pretty big wrestling fans. So it was, at first I was like, wow, that's exciting. So we're setting up and then Joe, like, parks the car and comes in and, like, you know, meanwhile I, like, called him. I was like, Joe, we're next to Ted DiBiase and Virgil. And I had seen pictures of Virgil before on the internet because I guess there's like a site called Lonely Virgil or something because it's pictures of just him at a Comic-Con booth, like mostly alone. And so I was like, okay, I guess he's like a mainstay at comic conventions, but I've never seen him in person before. And there are other wrestlers that are at New York Comic-Con, but they're in the different section. So at first we thought it was kind of strange that he was in the small press section. So I'm like, okay, what's he doing in small press? Because everyone else had, like, small press books that they're trying to promote, like, their own comics that they make, because obviously that's small press section. But, yeah, so we're, like, setting up, and it seemed like Virgil just really wanted a lot of attention. Like, he was already talking to us and stuff, and I introduced myself. I was like, hi, I'm Carolyn. And, like, he's like, I don't care. I'm here to make money. And just started, like, going off like that, and I was just like, okay. Just trying to, like, say hi, dude, you know, because he's already talking to us. And, but yeah, like, that was interesting in the beginning of Comic-Con. And then, of course, it, like, opened on this Comic-Con was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so it's a 4-day show. Thursday show was always, like, pretty light, so I wasn't really expecting, like, that much of crowd. But, Thursday was pretty amazing. Like, I was like, damn, what's going to be Saturday? Joe, what did you think of Thursday this time around?
I mean, Thursday was pretty jam-packed. Every single day was pretty jam-packed.
Yeah, so, like, at that point already, I was like, holy moly, this is going to be, like, a really big New York Comic-Con. And then, like, also on Thursday, like, all I really remember was just, like, Virgil, like, bothering Teresa. If you listened to the last episode of Carol and Joe's show, she was on it, so catch up if you haven't listened to it yet. But Teresa Roberts Logan, she's the laughing redhead. She was awesome to share a booth with. But yeah, like, Virgil kept, like, pulling her hair and, like, irritating her, and, like, literally pulling her hair, and, like, I don't know, man, he was just, like, off his rocker, really, and, like, even he just started, like, talking, like, after, you know, I introduced myself to him, and he just, like, randomly started just, like, sprouting out, like, all of this information that I didn't even ask for. Like, he was just like, you know me, and I was, and then, like, Teresa already outed that, like, Joe and I like wrestling, so I'm like, yeah. And then he's like, you see this man right here? And he, like, pointed to a picture of Vince McMahon, because he had all these, like, 8x10 glossy pictures of him in his heyday in wrestling. And I was just like, you know, he's like, see this man right here? And I'm like, yeah, it's Vince McMahon. And he's like, yeah, he pays me $15,000 to make an appearance each month. He's like, I make 2 appearances per month. That's $30,000. Now tell me else who here makes $30,000 in 2 evenings of work. And then I was just, like, looking around like, I don't know. Like, but it's like, he just sounded, like, so, like, pompous. And I don't know, man. It just seemed, like, really upfront to, like, tell me stuff like that, especially since I never even asked. And I was just, like, saying hi. I don't know. But apparently he, like, a lot of people would walk by and, you know, he was doing, from what I saw, like, okay business. It's not like he had a line, like, at all times or anything, but, like, people would walk by and then they'd see, like, oh, a wrestler, and they'd get really excited because they're just wrestling fans. And so, Joe, what did you think about sharing a booth with Virgil? Or not sharing a booth, but being next to Virgil?
Well, I really appreciate Virgil picking on our booth mate, Teresa. So that was actually very annoying.
Well, there was one part that was kind of interesting back and forth with them, because Teresa also does stand-up comedy, so, like, she can, like, know how to battle. But basically, like, he started calling her, like, Mother Teresa or, like, Mrs. Logan or Mother Logan and stuff like that. And he was just like, Mother Logan. It's like, one thing to do that, like, once or twice, you know, because he's just looking for attention. It seemed like any time, like, his line was dry, he'd, like, bother us. So it would happen kind of often. But, like, he'd be like, Mother Logan. And it was, like, super annoying. And also, I think he's, like, 56 or something like that. 57, I don't know. But it's, like, he basically was, like, an 8-year-old trying to call his mom, you know? He's like, Mother Logan, look at me. I'm about to dive off the high dive, you know, like, at the pool. You know, it's like, oh, look what I can do. It was basically, like, that type of thing. But he was like, Mother Logan. And then she was getting, you know, kind of annoyed, but she was just like, what's up, Papa Virgil? like, it was good, like, comeback for her, you know? Because, like I said, she had that stand-up comedy background. And, but yeah, like, then he was like, ooh, Papa Virgil, I like that. And she's like, oh, you like that? I'm not gonna call you that anymore. But it was just, like, some weird back and forth. And I don't know, he was an interesting dude. Especially since, like, right after I met him, he was like, I don't care about you, I'm here to make money. But it was just, like, strange. But on one day, he actually came around and, like, looked at our artwork and stuff. And, like, he said that it was good. So that was, like, a nice, I guess, the nicest thing he did all weekend was, like, at least look at our work and, like, acknowledge it. But, I don't know, the rest of the time he was just kind of annoying. And at one point, like, Teresa accidentally, like, lost the tip of her pen. So we were, like, we got up off of our seats and we're, like, looking around for the top of her pen. And it was, like, a special pen, so it needed to be, like, air shut. It wasn't, like, a regular type of shitty pen. It was a really nice pen. And, so we're, like, looking for the top of her pen. And then, meanwhile, I guess, like, on her end, she, like, accidentally tipped over his, like, Pepsi or something. And it made, like, a small stain, or, you know, small droplets came out. And then we gave him, actually, Kleenex to pick it up. And then he, like, you know, he wiped his side clean. And then he, like, threw the Kleenex, the wet Kleenex, back at us. And we're like, what the heck, dude? We're like, we have a trash can right here. You know, like, there was just, like, no regards to any, like, courtesy boundaries or, like, rules. And on one end, it's like, yeah, he's a former wrestler. Like, I get that, you know? But also at the same time, like, we're not in the ring. Like, this isn't, like, an entertaining show we're putting on. We're just trying to be, like, courteous neighbors to each other. But he was just basically like an 8-year-old kid, like, just throwing stuff at us. And I don't know, man. Like, at first I was really excited to actually be next to wrestlers. But then, like, it didn't take long for me to be like, this is going to be trouble, like, all weekend long. And it turned out, like, Ted DiBiase never even, like, showed up. So it was just Ann Virgil. And I don't know, man, on one hand, I actually kind of felt bad because a lot of people would walk by and, like, see Virgil and then, like, talk shit about him behind his back. Like, you could hear people, like, walk by and be like, what the hell? And, like, they'll just be like, oh my god, Virgil. But then, like, there was a whole bunch of people that really were just excited to see a wrestler. And, but yeah, like, I was actually surprised so many people, like, wanted to take a picture with him or get his autograph. Because I think he was, like, $30 a pop. Like, I mean, think about it. He gets three people, that's already 90 bucks. But yeah, like, I don't know. He kept saying that he's on TV, like, all the time. And, like, as far as, like, Joe and I know, I don't think I ever remember actually seeing him on Raw in recent memory.
See, when he first told me that, Ted DiBiase and Virgil were going to be seated right next to us, and also RC, like, texted me saying, like, oh, Ted DiBiase and Virgil are going to be right next to you, your guys' booth in the small press section, you know, excitement really wasn't the first thing that came to mind because I know the legacy of Virgil. And that was a tough truth that I had to sort of, like, after the first day that we had to break to Teresa, because Teresa asked us the question of, like, so is he really somebody? Is Virgil really, like, somebody? You know, and we can all clearly tell that, like, if you were a star, like, Virgil does not act like a star. He doesn't act like a major player in the game. He acts very much like a homeless man trying to sell his cheap art on the side of the road. You know, and that's the legacy that he's always known of. And we had to tell Teresa that, like, yeah, he's a wrestler, but he's not somebody. You know, he's not really somebody at all. You know, and it almost became like that. Almost, I felt like became like a battle in a way. You got people that are like either disgusted or just interested in seeing Virgil, and then, like, it's like, oh yeah, here we are too. So it's like that. I felt like that's like it's either a good thing or a bad thing. But either way, it's a way to get people close to our table. But, you know, and then of course there were several times when Virgil came up to us, or Virgil would, you know, he would talk to us, say, like, you fans wrestling, so who, and they would eat trivia and shit like that. And, like, I really wasn't interested in talking to Virgil because I don't really care about Virgil, like, I mean, at all. Literally at all. He has, like, no nutritional value in my history.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's one of those things. I was just excited more, actually, for Ted DiBiase.
Oh, yeah, I would have loved.
Because the sign, like, basically has Ted DiBiase's name real big, and then it just says, and Virgil.
I would have loved if Ted DiBiase was there. That's a main guy. Ted DiBiase is part of the beginnings of me watching professional wrestling. I went the first pay-per-view I ever watched at my cousin Jason and Jeff Salonga's house was WrestleMania 4 at Trump Plaza that had the tournament for the world champion, for the new world championship. And at the headlining of that championship was the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, against Macho Man. So to see if Ted DiBiase were to be there, that would have been massive, because that's like a major guy. And the first question I would ask is like, what the heck is going on with your son? where's the DiBiase posse? But yeah, that would have been huge. But like, you know, New York Comic Con was good. It's as good as it's going to be. It's a challenge. It's always a hustle. People think we just have a good time. But a lot of times we're really hustling. We're trying to get our books out there, and we're trying to find those fun moments. Like checking out like the X-Files was really a pleasure for me, to see the X-Files reunion with Mulder and Scully, the David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson, because I love those guys. And to see that in person, that was really special for me, and I was happy I was able to see that. That was like the final panel of the show too. Gillian Anderson looks awesome. David Duchovny, they both look like just better than what they were in the past, which was amazing. It really, really inspired me. It's probably going to inspire the next one shots that we're going to film. So more power to that.
But yeah, New York Comic Con also, I felt like it was probably our most difficult show of all time. I really felt like that. And we've been doing the Comic Con tours for about 5 years. And this one, I don't know. Like it was fun. But at the same time, like, the hustle part of it was very hard.
Maybe we'll try to get Teresa back on the show, too, so we can see, like, the whole, you know, the review. And because she was taking notes of how we can do better. But also, it's like, again, I felt like being the small press, because we were so used to being in the Artist Alley section that, like, Artist Alley, you come to realize how far that Artist Alley section really is from the main floor. It's a long walk.
Yeah, it's like a 15-minute walk.
So it being at the small press on the main floor, it pretty much was almost like this is the first day starting over all over again, you know? Yeah,
and also I heard a lot of people, I guess, thought we would have been in Artist Alley, and they're like, what, you're in small press? So they were like surprised.
Well, it's also like, yeah, of course. Well, if you think about it,
logistically, I think actually small press is a better place for us.
Because we are a publisher. We are a group. We're not just like some dude who's not drawing our own characters and just hoping one day to draw someone else's creations. We have our own creations that we're promoting and hustling.
And but the other thing is too, like, the hard part about, it's one thing, like, yeah, New York Comic Con's fun. You get to see all the outfits and, like, see all the spectacle and, like, get free stuff. Like, I get that. But then from our point of view, from our other side of the table, this show was very hard for us because... And actually, I think it was... On the contrary, I think it was the best New York Comic Con we've done sales-wise.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was, like, the hardest because you're dealing with the main floor. You're dealing with, like, And I felt like it was a younger crowd this time around. And I even read an article the other day. Well, I guess I didn't read the full article, but I read the headlines. And they said that there was comparable to San Diego Comic-Con in terms of attendance. So think about that. Like, that's pretty amazing. And on top of that, here's the other hard parts. It is, like, as a seller at New York Comic-Con. Like, let's say you're talking to somebody and they seem to be interested in your book, but then their girlfriend or boyfriend or husband is like, hey, look over here, Iron Man, look at this Iron Man, he's awesome. And then, like, they totally get distracted about everything we were just, you know, talking to them about. And then their mindset is on what their boyfriend is showing them, you know, and stuff like that will happen. And then also there was, like, this train sound that kept, like, a choo-choo kept going on, like, every, whatever, about 4 or 5 minutes. And people would always be like, what's that train? And then, like, they totally get distracted. So it was really hard to get people's attention and, like, get people focused on your work. And I wouldn't say it was, like, a problem. It was a hurdle to overcome. It was an obstacle. But stuff like that you don't have in other shows as much. I feel like other shows are smaller and more... You can have that time to talk to people. Whereas, like, at New York, people always feel like they're on the go and, like, gotta catch whatever the latest thing is. And then on top of that, like... Especially on Sunday, a lot of people thought that everything was free, and they just started, like, taking stuff off the table.
And so I feel like that's also the difference when you're in Artist Alley as opposed to, like, the main floors. And in Artist Alley, I don't feel like people know it's not really free, you know? But I feel like in the main floor, it's like, well, people are looking for stuff that's free. You know what I mean? It's free all. I even saw like there was some sort of like there's some model who just has her skimpy ass photos there, and she had her she had like her calendar, like a full printed calendar, and people were like, oh, can I have a calendar? You know, and she's like, oh, $20. It's like, oh, you have to pay for it? I'm like, it's a whole fucking calendar.
Yeah.
It's like a full production. You just don't give that shit away. Also, why are people assuming that you're going to give this shit away?
A lot of the people there this time around were really youthful, like teenagers or like early 20s.
And I understand people wanting stuff for free too, so nothing against that. But it's logical to not just assume it's free.
Well, they don't know, you know, because they're probably already given like a free tote bag and something else by some other company. So they just like assume that like everything is free.
But also we had some people that were like when you gave them like a postcard, like, oh, my God, it's free.
Yeah.
So I thought that was
interesting. There's different reactions of different type of people. And then they would be like, thanks so much. And I'm like, no problem. It's a free postcard, you know, but like, yeah. And then the other hand of that, you have like a 17-year-old kid taking a whole handful of buttons.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, though. I'd definitely be in that same position, in that same place, in that same booth again, because like it was actually really awesome to be on the main floor. I really enjoyed that and having that space to really create whatever you want. You know what I mean? We didn't even need to have tables if we didn't want to have tables. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We could have really done whatever we want. Maybe that's what we do. As a first trial run, we tried to go all out. And also, we can go all out more. You know what I mean? We had our whole white setup, and I think it looked pretty amazing with the mobiles. Even when people saw it like online, they wanted to be there and they wanted to see it. But the whole entire show was sold out. But
I will say, like, you know, to pat ourselves on the back, though, I really do think that was probably one of the best setups we've ever had.
And I think we can even be bigger and more inventive next year. I hope we do it again next year. It's gonna be cool.
Yeah.
Gonna have some new books, hopefully, so...
We had, like, these circles cut out of our characters and the New Curl Studio logo, and we put them up as mobiles, and even, like, the light drift of wind from the show, like, made them rotate around every, you know, 20 seconds or so. So that was awesome, so then people walking by could see, like, different angles of it. And then one side had, like, a shiny side, like a mirror or, like, some type of crystal ball awesomeness, so that... I thought that was pretty effective. I mean, yeah, there was like a lot of good moments at this year's New York Comic Con, but then also I learned a lot about trying to sell on the show floor and competing with all the free stuff. I mean, it is hard to compete next to a car or a video game, too.
It's also tough when you are giving away free stuff, too, so people just assume it's all free. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I mean, there's no balance. There was a good amount of free stuff there, so I can understand people's confusion, but it's also like there's stuff that was blatantly labeled with a price. So, you know, I just jotted down the people wanting free stuff. But also at the same time, it was very awesome to be there, and I'd love to be there again with like new stuff, and I was getting new books out to new people, and that's the main thing. Is I felt like being where we were there, we had a lot of visibility and a lot of people were able to find out about Curl Studio and just look at the characters so they're stuck in their minds for next year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the main thing. The main thing is like, it's like if I'm not going to be a millionaire, I want people to know who we are so we can become millionaires. That's really what
it
is.
And then you can get your own doctor.
Yeah. And then I can create my own doctor robot. And that's always the key. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. I'm ending it with that.
The key to life.
Key to life.
Getting your own robotic doctor.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to this week's show. Don't forget to check out the new film that Brian Sarvis and I created, produced, whatever you want to call it, the newest one-shots film called The Magic Trick, where you can find it at one-shots.com. O-N-E-S-H-O-T-S.com. Also, check out my new work and all other updates and news at goastray.tumblr.com. Of course, this show is brought to you by strayproductions.com. That is what we do. What do you got, Carolyn?
You can check out my comic strip Curls at curls-studio.com. And also, if you're interested in donating blood at Cartoonists Draw Blood in DC on November 2nd, email me at info@curls-studio.com. And we'll schedule you an appointment. The blood will come after you. But you'll be also saving lives and stuff. It's pretty awesome.
That's right.
And you get a sketch by one of DC's top cartoon artists.
And thanks for tuning into the show. Go to carolinajoeshow.com. Also on Stitcher. Also on iTunes. Whatever you want. We're there. Just check it out. See you later, Carolyn.
Adios, amigos.
See y'all next week. Bye.